That he's alive. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There is no greater hope for us than knowing that Jesus Christ is alive. He is here with us today. He says, "Where two or more gathered in my name, I am in your midst." So he is here with us today. Praise be to God. Yes. Thank you for the many gifts and talents that people share in glorifying the Lord. In a little while, we'll come and we'll share at the table again. Because I think it's important that we realize that Jesus desires relationship with us. It's important that we reciprocate to some degree. Now, unfortunately, there's not, we would love to see every pew filled. You know, and it's an unfortunate time in our life today that very few people turn to Jesus. I am so thankful that we do have a youth group over here and they're learning about Jesus and they're learning what it's going to be in order to stay with Jesus. And that's the most troubling part. Because most of our kids today, we send them off to college and when they come back, there's something new. There's something different. And it's usually they've lost the Lord. And it's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. And we have those challenges before us, but the Lord does not leave us unto ourselves and to our own understanding. Praise be to his holy name. I'm glad he doesn't leave me to my understanding because I don't know very much at all. All I know is that Jesus is coming. And I know that Jesus loves us. I do know that because he's the one that went to the cross for us. He's the one that rose from the grave for us. He's the one that is alive today for us. He's alive not just because he's alive. He's alive for you and for me. And we have much to be thankful for. I was reading a passage of scripture out of Jeremiah, just a verse of scripture, and I thought it was so powerful. I just wanted to share it with you this morning. It says, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 reads, "Call to me and I will answer you." How many of you have called out to the Lord lately? And how many of you, when you called out to the Lord, he answered you? Now, many of us call out to the Lord, don't we? We call out to the Lord with all kinds of reasons. And we cry out to him. We call out to him. And we should. He tells us to do that. Even in the song we sang earlier, or that was played for us earlier, it was talking about crying out to the Lord, talking to the Lord, being engaged with the Lord. Part of what he does with us as we come together, that's exactly what he does. He engages us. He engages you. He doesn't want you coming in here and being absent-minded or thinking about something else. He engages us by his word. He says, "Call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you." Now listen, he's got a response, see, when we call out to him. He said, "And I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." Now, some of us have been around a while, right, Pastor Ed? We've been around a while, but you know something about Pastor Ed, what I've discovered about him? He still cries out to the Lord. He still loves Jesus. And he knows Jesus loves him. He cries out to the Lord because he knows he doesn't fully understand. But he also knows, just like this passage says, "What you do not know, I will help you to understand it." He doesn't leave us unto ourselves. Many of us struggle because we try to do everything ourselves. That's our problem. One of the biggest problems we have is when we face some kind of obstacle or some kind of difficulty in our lives, we turn into ourselves. What am I going to do about this? The first things we think about is what's the condition we're in. Maybe we've lost our job. So the first thing that we do is say, "Oh, I got to get my resume together. I got to get I got to get applications online. I got to do all this stuff." Instead of stopping and crying out to the Lord. Stop and cry out to the Lord because he has an answer for us. And that answer is a righteous answer. It's not an unrighteous answer. It's a righteous answer. Some of us may be facing health issues. Most certainly there's some that I know of that's facing health issues. And what do? The first things we want to do when we come into some kind of health crisis, what we want to do, we try to figure out, which doctor am I going to? What hospital do I have to go to? Do I need a therapist? Do I need a rehab? What do I need? Do I need insurance? Do I need money? Do I need transportation? What do I need? Instead of crying out to the Lord, because what we need is Jesus. And I am telling you here today, that's all we need. You don't need anything else. You don't need anyone else but Jesus. Now, some of you may say, but Pastor, there's a practicality to our life. Jesus makes a way in the harshness in which we live. He makes a way for us. He gets us to the right doctors. He gets us to the right medicine. He gets us to the right job. All we got to do is put Him first. That's the key. Instead, we struggle. We try to make it our own. I hear people say all the time, they'll say things, my this or my that. This is my place. This is my ministry. This is mine. You have nothing. You own nothing. You have nothing. You've been given something. You've been given life eternal. But what are you going to do with that? You should use it to God's glory. That's what you should do. That's what all of us should do, isn't it? I mean, I want to do that. I was reading an article last night about pleasing God. Do you know that Jesus said that He wanted to please His Father? Now, if Jesus wants to please the Father, how much more should we want to please Jesus as He pleases the Father? In other words, what is it that we do on a day-to-day basis? Do we cry out to Him? Do we sit down and spend some time with Him? Do we meditate? Do we think about Him at all? Or do we just go about our busyness? See, the world doesn't want to hear the truth. The truth is that Jesus is first. He doesn't come second. He doesn't come third. He comes first. Now, people are very thin-skinned, it seems like, these days. You can't say anything to them or they rush away. They fall away. And do you know God says that's going to happen? He says in the latter days, when those last days come, that people's going to rush away from the church. They call it an apostasy, where they just kind of drift off somewhere. Never see them again. They could care less about God. And by that, they care less about those who love God. Because see, it's not just about me, or not just about you. It's about Jesus loving each of us and us being here for each other. I don't know about you, but I need you. Maybe you don't need me, maybe you do, but you probably need somebody. I hope it's the right person. I hope it's Jesus Christ that you need. I want to share another favorite passage of Scripture of mine before we come to the table of fellowship, and it's talking about a goal of life. What is your goal? Is it to please God? You know, this week and for several weeks now, if you watch a little bit of news or something, they're talking about all this eclipse and all that stuff. That has nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus doesn't need no eclipse. He doesn't need no shadow. He doesn't need no darkness. Jesus is the light and He's the life. When He shows up, all that other stuff will be meaningless. What we need to do is have a right relationship with Jesus right now, that we don't depend on those things. And even if the Word tells us there'll be signs, but Jesus says, what a perverse generation who looks for signs. He said we should know the sign of the time, and we should. And we do know it. We don't have to have another affirmation that we're in the last days. I don't know about you. I don't need one more earthquake. I don't need one more thunderstorm. I don't need one more eclipse. I don't need one more red moon. I don't need one more rocket ship going to Mars. I don't need any of that. All I need and all we need is Jesus. If you keep your focus on Jesus when things start getting really difficult, and they're coming, believe me, it's a coming. If the Lord should tarry and we should stay here, difficult times are coming, and we're going to have to be together with one accord in Jesus Christ and Him alone, not with for each other. Don't come looking to me if your life is falling apart thinking I can fix you. I can't. But I will pray with you and I will love you and I'll tell you the truth. That's what we need to do with each other, isn't it? To love one another. He didn't say, change everybody. Or if somebody needs something, give everything to everybody. You know the nature of God, and we've preached it here before, the nature of God is about giving. It's not about taking. It's never about taking. It's always about giving. I want to take us to Philippians, the third chapter, familiar to many of you. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God. We worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus. We worship in the Spirit that God gives us, but we glory in Jesus Christ. In other words, we project Jesus Christ in our lives. We glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Now, I can tell you one thing. My flesh has a very powerful grip on me. Powerful grip. Especially when I'm not feeling well. When I'm sick, or my legs are hurting, or I got a headache, or whatever. That flesh is powerful. It will make you feel that you have nothing to add or nothing to give. It will make you feel that you're going to die or that you're going away. It will make you feel like giving up. But we are to put no confidence in our flesh. Now, many of you have accomplished a lot of things in life. I like to tell the story of those that I hear. I am so blessed. I'm surrounded with such wonderful people. Few of them are pretty intimate, and we get together and we talk about things. And one of them is Pastor Ed. Now, Pastor Ed and Sister Joyce getting ready to head up north, as well as Brother Kevin and Sister Linda here. They're getting ready to leave us at the end of the month, so you guys might want to put a net over them and catch them. But anyway, Pastor Ed was talking the other day, and I'm always thinking about this flesh, you know, the hunger of this flesh, and always thinking, well, what should I eat? I shouldn't eat that. I can't eat that. I shouldn't eat that. And he told me this story about him and one of his friends when they were real young, and I can't help but think about it. And he just affirmed with us in the office earlier, when he was 10 years old, he ate his first White Castle. White Castle. I don't know if any of you have eaten a White Castle before, but I wouldn't say that's on the government's list of the best food to eat. And I'm thinking to myself, I feel this relief come over me. I said, if a man at 10 years old can eat White Castle and live to 90, I'm in good shape. I may live to 200. But isn't that something? The things that we have such fear about, our flesh brings us fear unto us. The flesh, that's why you can't put your confidence in it, because the flesh is fearful. It's fearful. I was biting my nails. Occasionally I bite my nails, and I got one bleeding the other day. And I don't know about you if you've ever done that before, but that hurts. It's like it takes over your whole body. Everything on me was hurting. But isn't that the way the flesh is? It gives us this false sense that we are weak. But then we think about God and the glory of Christ Jesus. He said, we worship in the Spirit of God. That's where we worship. He doesn't talk about us living there in the Spirit of God, because we still have to manage His flesh. But His Spirit is with us. And as we worship Him in spirit, He somehow lets us drag this flesh along. Some of us are strong. Some of us go to, I know Kevin the other day said, well, I'm going up here to Planet Fatness, and if you want to join me. I said, I don't think I'll be going up there. maybe I should. But, you know, some of us are good. And I'm not saying quit doing that. I'm just saying put Jesus first. Put Jesus first. If you want to run a mile, say, Lord, I'm going to run a mile for you. If you want to run 2 miles for the Lord. If you want to eat a good, healthy salad, then Lord, I'm going to eat this salad to your glory today. Make sure you got your priorities right. Everything in your life, not just a salad or exercising, but it should be in your workplace. It should be in the schools. It should be in everywhere. It should be in our government. Unfortunately, there's not much there. But it should be also in the church. Shouldn't it be in the church here? There was a struggle the other day, and Marcia was telling me about it, and there's a little issue that come up yesterday with the alarms, and now she's struggling. And all of us are struggling. Are we going to be able to continue to do the things that we've done in the past? Sometimes we can't do what we want to do, can we? We just can't do it. I remember so many circumstances in my life, and those circumstances led me to change my life. Did I like it? Not at the time. When I came down here to Florida, I wasn't too crazy about that, because it was like 100 degrees, August. And I went to work. I come down. We got come down on Friday. Our daughter was down here, and she secured us apartment. Praise be to God. We got moved into the apartment Friday and most of Saturday. And Monday, I had to go to work at this new job. I tell you what, I wasn't too happy. I was saying, what am I doing here? Circumstances force us sometimes to take the uncomfortable road. And guess what? It's in that uncomfortableness that we really find Jesus. It is. Listen to this. Although I myself might have confidence, even in the flesh, and some of us do, don't we? I might have some confidence, and I'm sure Paul, as he is writing this, he had a certain amount of confidence in his flesh. He knew his legs were going to get him around. He knew he was going to eat. He knew he was going to continue to make tents and things like that, but and continue to propagate the gospel. But listen to what he says. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. In other words, he's saying, no one can overdo what I've already done. He set himself as an example. And guess why he says that? Because he wants us to set ourselves as an example. We talked about it earlier. I think it was Sister Londa when she was singing her song. If I'm not walking it, if I'm not talking it, we should be, shouldn't we? We need to be walking it. We need to be talking it. We need to tell people about it. We don't need to be ashamed of Jesus Christ, because let me tell you something. He is not ashamed of you. He is not. You may see the ugliness of yourself. You may see the sinfulness of yourself. But Jesus, He loves you. And He doesn't look at you the same way you look at yourself, or maybe even other people. Jumping over to verse 7, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as lost. Counted as lost for the sake of Christ. I haven't just counted them as loss. I've counted them as loss for the sake of Christ. Why? Because He gave everything for me and for you. He gave everything. How could you lose anything more than what Christ has lost for you? what he has given up for you. You can't. Sometimes knowing that, though, it discourages us. And I want you to know, don't be discouraged. Listen to this. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Okay, we might get a little discouraged sometimes thinking, well, that doesn't sound like a very good ending. But we know Jesus Christ. And he knows us. And he loves us. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. What is your hope? What is your dream? What do you want? Do you want to be first, or you want to just don't care, indifferent? What is it you want? We should want, now listen carefully, we should want to gain Christ. See, you will never be completely fulfilled in Christ. It's an impossible thing for us to do. You'll never be completely fulfilled. But you can gain more of Christ. That's what he's saying. Gain more. Gain more. Gain more. He doesn't want you to gain less of him. He doesn't want you to lose him. He wants you to gain him. He wants you to be strong in him. He wants you to be faithful in him. And when you do those things, even in the suffering of all things, you can count it but rubbish. Rubbish. How many people have you known that suffered and really nobody really cares except Jesus? And if you love Jesus, guess what? All that suffering is but rubbish because you've gained Jesus. You haven't lost him because you suffered. You should gain him. Not everybody does, but you should gain him in your suffering. He says that I may gain Christ and may be found in him. I want to be found in Christ. I don't want to be found anywhere else. I don't want to be found in any of you. I don't want to be found in the government. I don't want to be found in science. I don't want to be found on the moon. I want to be found in Jesus Christ. Not having a righteousness of my own. That is so important for us to understand. We have no righteousness, yet we think we do. But he's saying, having no righteousness of my own derived from the law. In other words, you can't get it by keeping the law. You can't keep commandments. You can't keep bylaws and policies. But that which is through faith in Christ. Through faith in Christ, what is it? The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Your faith in Jesus Christ brings righteousness, his righteousness to you. You cannot get into heaven without Christ's righteousness. You're not going to get there. And you don't have any righteousness. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that our righteousness is but filthy rags before the Lord. That's what the Word says. Our righteousness, your goodness, everything you can list that's, oh, I'm good at this, good at this, good at this. Over here on the con side, there's one or two little things. Over here on the good side, oh, I'm good, 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 good. That righteousness, filthy rags before the Lord. You might say, well, what do we strive for? Gain in Christ. That's what we strive for. We can quit striving to try to be good. Strive to gain in Christ. To know Christ. To hear Christ. To love Christ. To follow Christ. To worship Christ, to praise Christ, to love Christ. That's just a few of the things. That's what we do. We gain not by our own righteousness. We gain in Christ and His righteousness. Not ours. His. You know, we think about the times in which we live, and they are a lot different. There's no doubt. And I remember, Pastor Ernie, when he brought up, he said, "I'm old school," and I love that. He said, "This is the way we used to do it." Praise the Lord. He was reminding us that God is still at work in His people. That's what He was doing. It was a reminder. Now, we may not do that very often as we should, but when we do that and we respond to that, what we're saying is we believe and we trust that we're doing this to gain Christ. Not just to give, not just to be seen, not just to be important, but to do this to gain Christ. Now, some of you may have some questions about how to do that. And if you want to set up a time, I'm sure that I could speak to you, Pastor Ed or Pastor Ernie or even Pastor Gully. We could talk to you about how to gain Jesus Christ if you don't have Him. We come to this table, and part of why Jesus met with His folks, His people at that time, that is so they could gain Him. And at the same time, Jesus desired to have that time with them. And it's the same today. The same today. It hasn't changed. We come here to this table of fellowship. We're just a ragtag bunch of disciples hoping to gain Christ in some measure, in some way. And we come to this table and we say, "Jesus, hear my plea. I cry out to You, O Lord. Thank You for shedding Your blood. Thank You for breaking Your body from the likes of me." You ever think like that when you take that cup and drink that juice? I do every time I think about how much He suffered for me. I can almost tell you the truth that I wouldn't do that for you. I'd like to sit up here and say, "Oh yeah, I'd do that." Jesus is the only one that could do that. He's the only one that did do that. We are a week out from Easter and the Resurrection Sunday, and you have to wonder, at least I do, and you have to wonder, what was those disciples doing as they was waiting? As I was waiting, many of them were afraid. Many of them were hidden. And Jesus comes and said, "Go to Jerusalem. Wait for me there. Just wait for me. And I'll come to you. I'll come to you." Many of them went back to fishing and doing the things they were familiar with. He said, "Go back." And He brought the Comforter. 40 days later, He brought the Comforter. The Spirit would establish the church. That's why we're here today, by the Spirit of God. It isn't by your efforts or my efforts or anybody else's efforts. It's not by the efforts of religion or government or anything else. It's by Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. So they come back to Jerusalem and they're gathered and the Spirit resides with them. And they get up and they start preaching Christ to the multitudes. Thousands came to salvation that day. Thousands came to salvation. Guess what? There are thousands that need salvation today. Thousands and thousands and thousands. We can't even begin to count them all. Can't even begin. So what would Jesus have us do? He would have us share this table. He would delight in that. When you come to this table, think about Him delighting and sharing this bread and this cup with you. Think about that. He delighted in that. If you want to delight the Lord today, you take it in the spirit in which has been given to us. He desires to have this relationship with us. He desires this relationship to continue on, not to be broken, but to continue on. So we're going to come to this table. I'm going to ask the ushers that they come forward. I'm going to pray as they're coming forward, and we'll have communion. Let us pray. Father God, we are grateful and thankful for the day you've given us. We are thankful, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us, that your presence is always with us. We thank you, Lord, for that even today, as we've come here to hear your word, you have spoke to us by your Spirit, not by the flesh of men, but by the Spirit of God. Lord, continue to speak to us in a way that would draw us closer, that we might gain Christ, that we might gain more of him today and even in the days that follow. Lord, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or anything else. That's not for us to speculate. Today, we are with you. Today, you are here with us. And unless that changes, that's why we're here. For you, Lord. And we honor you, and we praise you, we thank you. We ask, Lord, that you be merciful unto us. Not because we deserve it, because we most certainly do not, but because of your loving kindness, O Lord, which is eternal. It's not just a temporary thing. It's eternal. And when we drop this flesh, one day we will. One day we're going to drop this flesh. And when we drop this flesh, O Lord, your Spirit will carry us to where we need to be. And Lord, that is with you. To be absent from this flesh is to be present with you. So we look forward to that moment and that time. We ask, Lord, now that as we share this bread and this cup, that you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Let me just sit just a second. On the night our Lord was betrayed, he took the bread. He lifted it to heaven. He blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. Thank you, brother. I'll ask Brother Richard to bless the bread.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Bless this bread as we all come to the table. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
In like manner, he took the cup, he lifted it to heaven, he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples. Ask Brother Jim to bless the cup, please.
Lord, we come here today to praise you. We thank you for your sacrifice. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The blood of Christ shed for many for the forgiveness of sin. The word teaches that as you take this bread and drink this cup, you show forth the death of our Lord until he comes. So let's rise and we're going to recite together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.